Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We played for you a short while ago. By the way, lots of calls and comments about when the cops pull people over and what should happen. We'll get to those in just a minute. Senator Dick Durbin has been able to join us just now. I don't want to miss the senator's call. Senator Durbin, John Williams, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, John. How are you doing?
Good. I don't know how much of your time I have. I know you may have to exit quickly, so if you need to, by all means, do. A lot of people are talking about your exchange with Betsy DeVos the other day.
Well, I'll tell you, it troubled me. When I think about it, $17 or $18 million sounds pretty substantial until you put it up against a $70 or $80 billion budget and you realize it's small change. So somebody in her office or the Office of Management and Budgeting decided to get rid of Special Olympics. I've attended some of their events, so I'll bet you have too. It's inspiring. It changes lives. It's a bargain, for goodness sakes, for all of these young men and women across the world, for goodness sakes, with disabilities, physical, mental disabilities. This is the high point, not of their day, but of their lives, to be part of it. And for the woman to be Secretary of Education and not appreciate that and really believe it's just dispensable, that to me was troubling.
Did you want any of your response back when she said to you, you're using children with disabilities as a political prop? It's a private organization, and they get 90% of their financing outside the federal government. So she tried to call you out on that.
Yeah, she sure did. And it's interesting. The White House this morning backed off of it and said, we're going to restore the funding for the Special Olympics. But I expected her to. It was the second day she'd faced questioning on it. And, you know, the fact that it's a private organization should not stop us from helping. You know, we shouldn't just support those things we fully support and fully invent. It says something if the philanthropic community and individuals contribute to the same cause we're working on at the federal level.
Well,
and
then why did the president step in then?
Step in and say that the fund should be restored?
Yeah.
They were taking too much heat. It really was a type. You know, if I said to you, ketchup is a vegetable, you would say, uh-oh, that was that Ronald Reagan thing. The little things are the big things in politics. People remember little things. Betsy DeVos has been controversial on 100 different levels, but she, for the time being, is going to be remembered as the woman who cut the money for Special Olympics.
I don't know why they didn't see that coming. I mean, I could see it both ways. Special Olympics might have gotten an extra $18 million in private financing based on the publicity alone, or they get the money from the public sector. Either way, Special Olympics is fine, but the administration looks so callous. It looks so deaf to the issue when they cut such a small amount.
And, you know, their argument is we've got a deficit. Well, let me just add, that wasn't the argument when they cut the taxes for people at the highest income levels and added $1 trillion to the deficit in the process. But even conceding the fact that we do have a deficit, we should worry about it. I came back to her and gave her plenty of room to cut in the for-profit colleges and universities, which we are seeing, unfortunately, a tragic script unfolding here. As more and more of these schools are going under, and the students, even here in Chicago, who were defrauded by the likes of Argosy University, trying to get at least their debt forgiven since they have worthless credit hours, can't get a day's hearing in the Department of Education with the secretary. I asked her, 140,000 students waiting for their day in court to see if they have to carry these student loans from these good-for-nothing for-profit colleges and universities, and she didn't have an answer.
I'll tell you, one thing I've liked coming out of the administration, and I don't know where this is or how up on it you are, but my understanding is that universities will have to disclose what the average income is for students who graduate with certain degrees. If you're going to borrow $100,000 and you might make $35,000 with that degree, they ought to be up front with you about that. That sounds like a good idea to me.
It does to me, too. And, you know, making money in life is not everything. But if you're going into debt to get to a status in life where you can start earning a salary, when these schools lure a young person and their family, I might add, into a deep debt, bad things happen. I was up in Zion, at the Zion Benton High School, just a couple weeks ago, and down in Decatur, at Decatur MacArthur High School. they're running out of teachers. They can't find teachers. Starting salaries around $30,000. That's, incidentally, $15 an hour under a minimum wage. $30,000 for a starting teacher. And they can't fill the classrooms. Why? Too many of these kids are coming out so loaded with debt that it's inconceivable that they could make go of it, making $30,000. So, you know, we've got to be honest about this debt. It is changing lives, and not for the better.
Have you seen or heard more of the Mueller report than the four pages we have seen?
No, but we expect to. The latest report, it's some 300 pages long, and we're waiting for the Attorney General to release what he's going to release. The sooner the better. Whatever the outcome of this, I said long ago and stand by my statement, I trust Bob Mueller. He's a professional. I don't think he's political. I think he's an American to the core. And if he says that there's a case, there is a case from my point of view. And if he says the opposite, I hold by that too. So he said when it came to the Trump campaign involvement with the Russians, he didn't find it. He went on to the issue of his obstruction of justice and said he couldn't say either way whether the president was guilty or not guilty when it came to it. I'd stand by him there too. But at this point, the American people, I think, have the right to see what the report says about the president, good and bad.
You trust the special prosecutor. Do you trust the attorney general?
Well, John, I didn't vote for him, and I'll tell you why. Because he voluntarily sent a 19-page memo to President Trump's defense squad last year and said, I don't think you can be found guilty of obstruction of justice. So when he comes down with the conclusion that the president did not obstruct justice, I can't help but think that he decided that a long time ago.
The president's talking about immigrants in another caravan today. Are we any closer to, or where are we on some sort of comprehensive legislation about dealing with the immigrants that are here and are undocumented, the ones that are here now?
Well, we're not doing anything. And the only bill that's passed in recent time was one that a group of eight of us, four Dems, four Republicans, put together with John McCain. It passed the Senate, was never taken up by the Republican House. I'm going to reintroduce that bill, bring it up to speed, up to date. If we don't do comprehensive immigration reform, we're going to lurch from one crisis, one challenge to the next. But I'll tell you this, too. This characterization by the president of what's going on the southern border as an invasion is an outrage. Yes, it is a challenge. Yes, we're being overwhelmed with numbers. But to call this an invasion and a caravan, these folks are walking up, children in hand, and presenting themselves to people with uniforms. They are not trying to storm the border or invade, for goodness sakes. It is a terrible crisis in that regard, a humanitarian crisis. They need to be taken care of, and I want to work to do it. But trying to conjure some sort of negative feelings about immigrants at the border and that they're somehow a threat to each and every one of us is a gross exaggeration and unfair.
Senator, the president's in Florida today, and he again talked about closing the border next week. Do you have any idea how that could happen? I mean, do you expect anything like that?
Well, it's possible he will, but I can tell you he'll only close some of the ports of entry for some of the people. We have millions of people crossing that border every week, legally crossing that border. There's a steady flow of commerce back and forth between the United States and Mexico. So he's not going to be able to close off that border, and the ports of entry are where many of these people are headed to.
I don't even know what it means. When he says that, does he mean it's so dangerous that we'll even close off, automobile, legal automobile traffic from going through checkpoints? Is that what that means?
It's nonsensical. He obviously has never been there, or at least if he's there, he's not listening. But you go down to a city like El Paso, which incidentally happens to be a pretty peaceful city right on the border, and their daily commerce back and forth across those bridges is just essential to the economies of the United States and Mexico.
One last thing. The president is also now saying that the Republican Party will be the party of health care. I don't know what their health care plan looks like, but if I may, I hope that if the Republicans want to get serious about crafting some sort of comprehensive health care legislation that could work and that might borrow from Obamacare, that I would hope the Democrats would be open to that, even though he's trying to brand himself or them with that.
John, I voted for Obamacare. The the Affordable Care Act, maybe the most important vote I ever cast. Half of the uninsured people in the state of Illinois now have health insurance. I wish all of them did. I think that ought to be our goal. Is it perfect? Heck no. You know, Moses didn't carry it down on clay tablets. It's a best effort that we made 10 years ago. It's now been in the law for 9 years. Does it need improvement changes? You bet. There isn't enough in there about dealing with prescription drug prices, which is what's driving the cost of health insurance through the roof in our state and other places, and a lot of other aspects. But the president has basically said, you know, just basically repeal it and we'll get around to replacing it. They've had 9 years to write a replacement. I'd like to see the first draft.
Have you?
No.
Do you
they
know?
Don't have one.
Well,
That's why John McCain voted no.
Okay, I'm out of time, Senator. Anything else you'd like to pass along?
No, I can tell you the Illinois Department of Public Health report today about the incidence of cancer around the Sterigenics facility in Willowbrook is must reading, not just for the folks living in DuPage County, but for all of us. We need regulation by groups like the U.S. EPA to save us from things we can't save ourselves from. One of them is this deadly carcinogenic gas that comes out of those facilities.
How is it that that company, so we've got a lot of lawyer ads on this radio station, and they're, you know, they are taking all their shots at that company. And if those claims are true, we have worked on this with my producer, Elif. I said, get somebody from Sterigenics to come on. If that's a company here in the Chicago area, and they're really doing that, as these ads say, then let's have them tell us their side of the story. Categorically, they won't. And I'm thinking, how the hell is it that we let a company come in here and do this?
Well, and you ought to take a look at this report. We had a briefing this morning over the phone. 20 years of cancer statistics lead them to the sad, tragic conclusion that blood cancers, which are associated with ethylene oxide, are reaching significantly higher levels among women and children near the Sterigenics facility. And that's based on 20 years of data. They want to do more study, and they should, but it's fair warning to all of us that we need government agencies that care and watch and keep us protected when we can't protect ourselves.
Nice to talk to you, Senator. I'm out of time. I know you're pressed, too. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, John.